I do have a bit of a message I want to share with you, and we're continuing in our series called Teach Us to Pray. So we began this series a while back now, but the series comes out of that verse where Jesus' disciples come to him and they say, can you teach us to pray just like John taught his disciples? And so over the weeks, we've looked at the fact that communication, that's what prayer is. It's communication to the Lord, and communication is something you need to learn. It just doesn't happen. And so learning to pray is a great thing that every believer should learn how to do. And we can learn what God's word says about prayer that makes us effective communicators with him. So we looked at a few different things. First of all, we talked about, hey, you need to set a time and a place where you can pray regularly. Make sure and set that time, set that place. We talked about praying memorized prayers, you know, to get going. Maybe you're not sure, what should I say? Well, memorize some scripture and speak that in your prayer. We talked about a memorized prayer. Well, that's what the Lord's Prayer was. And then we went on to the fact that we can thank the Lord. So sometimes it's like, well, how do I begin? Begin your prayer just by thanking him for who he is and what he's done. And if you're like, I don't know what to thank him for, well, you can thank him for the fact that you're breathing. Is everybody breathing here today? Okay, good. So you all have something you can thank him for. Yeah, that's probably a bad question if someone said no, right? Okay, anyhow, breathing is his breath in our lungs. Thank him for that, and then go from there. You will find things to thank him for. It's a great way to begin your prayer time. Today, though, we're going to move on to praying for our needs. Okay, so when you get to prayer, often praying for our needs is something that we do because, well, everybody has needs. Well, God's word has a lot to say about it. And let me begin with this point, and it's this. Don't worry, just ask. Okay? Don't worry, just ask. Worrying is not the same as prayer. When you sit there thinking in your mind, worrying over it, that's not actually prayer. That's worry. And I have done this over the years myself, so I know what worry is. And by the way, worry is just a nice word for fear. It just sounds way better, doesn't it? Boy, I've been fearful all day thinking about stuff. That doesn't sound good. Oh, I was worrying today. Nobody minds that. But worry is a nice word for fear, and it's not the same as prayer. Okay, so I just want to get that to you, and let's just read the scripture right off the bat here. I'm going to give you a few verses, so stick with me, follow along on the screen. Matthew 6:27, can worry make you live longer? Well, we know that's scientifically no, you'll live shorter. Why worry about clothes? Look how the wildflowers grow. They don't work hard to make their clothes, but I tell you that Solomon, with all his wealth, wasn't as well clothed as one of them. God gives such beauty to everything that grows in the fields, even though it's here today and thrown into a fire tomorrow. God will surely do even more for you. Why do you have such little faith? Don't worry and ask yourselves, will we have anything to eat? Will we have anything to drink? Will we have clothes to wear? Only people who don't know God are always worrying about such things. Your Father in heaven knows you need all of these. But more than anything else, put God's work first and do what he wants, then the other things will be yours as well. So right off the get-go, I want you to realize God does know that you have needs. He doesn't want you to worry. And as you're going to see as we go through this message, he wants you to simply ask. But there's an interesting verse at the end of this portion that I just read that I just want to briefly look at as we move through today's message, and it's this. Okay, we're talking about bringing our needs to him. We're talking about not worrying. And then he puts that at the end of what he's saying. More than anything else, put God's work first. Do what he wants. Then the other things will be yours as well. Okay, so here is an antidote, if you will, for worry. If you're prone to worry, it could mean that you haven't put God first. You see, when we put him first, we no longer have to worry because we're basically saying, okay, God, this is yours. You're in charge. It all belongs to you. Another version says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and all these things will be added to you. Okay, so when you seek his will first, you can be confident, not have fear, have faith that he will do all the rest. Put him first. You see, put God's stuff before everything else and watch what he will do. I want to give you a little tip. If you run a business, put God first before your business. What do I mean by that? Well, choose to have a regular time where you go to church, and no matter how much he blesses your business, don't suddenly be like, well, God bless my business. I'm so busy, I can't go to church anymore. That's a recipe to lose the blessing. Summer's like, what do you know about that? You always put God first, and he says he'll look after the rest. So put him first and watch what he will do. I remember a number of years ago, I was praying for a young man about business, and this is quite a few years ago. And God had shown me, oh, he's going to have a business, you know, pray for him. And I'm praying for him. In the middle of my prayer for this guy, I've sensed the Holy Spirit say, his business is going to begin to grow and he's going to quit church. And in my mind, I'm like, well, then what am I praying for him for? I actually remember thinking that, what? And I knew, okay, if God's saying this, it's because I'm supposed to chat with him about it. And I said, hey, God wants you to have this business, but you got to make sure you put him first. When he starts to bless you, don't quit church. I gave him the stern pastor talk. It didn't do any good. He quit church when his business was doing better. He never came back. I was really disappointed. I remember thinking, I don't think I want to pray for anybody's business now. But anyways, I had to listen to God and pray for business. But I want to encourage you, if you own a business, you step out, you try it. I guarantee there will be a test that comes. Some guy would be like, well, if you don't show up today, you know, you're supposed to be at church on Sunday morning or Saturday, whichever is yours. And some guys be like, if you don't take this job today, you're losing the contract. Test. What are you going to do? Put God first. And you may lose that contract, but God will give you much more. He will bless you abundantly when you put him first. Everybody good with that? Some be like, how do you know? You never had a business? Actually, I did. So I do know how that works. And I do know when you put God first, you do not have to worry. This is the antidote for don't worry. Put him first. He's big enough. I said this last night. God can do anything, and he's not cheap, and he's not broke. Now, you can tell someone that God's not broke. Some people need to know that. Like, God, if you could you please help me out? It's like we think he's broke, or he's dividing it up. I don't have enough. He has more than enough, and he's got you. So don't worry. Put him first. Oh, boy. Sometimes things that come to my mind are like, Lord, do I really have to say that? Did you know that God is even more important than sports? Oh, Lord. Okay, so we're talking about don't worry. Bring it to him. You see, God wants us to ask him, and then we will receive. So when we're talking about praying for our needs, you're communicating with him. You are asking him to meet your needs. And he says, if you ask, you will receive. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You need to ask. This is a principle in God's kingdom. Yes, he knows our needs. Yes, he knows what we need, what's coming, what's next. And yet he has set this principle that you need to ask. And when you ask, he says he will answer. You see, he's a faithful God. He is a good God. And he will do things that, you know, you can't even imagine, but you need to ask. I remember a number of years ago, and our family had kind of gone into full-time ministry, out of business, into ministry. We were over in Saskatchewan, and we had joined up with a pastor there in Saskatchewan who had a church on a reserve, and all summer long they did tent meetings. So tent meetings, if you don't know, they set up this massive tent outdoors, and they basically have a church meeting every night for a week, or 3 days, or whatever has been planned. And you have music and preaching and people coming in. And, of course, with the tent meeting, it's kind of a little more public and you can hear it for a long ways away. Depending, you know, how loud the preacher is, you can hear it for a couple miles. But anyhow, it's pretty awesome things and it was done quite a bit back in the day. And still today, sometimes in the summer, you'll see the big tents. But we joined them, helped with their church. I ended up building an addition on the church that was twice as big as the original church. That was quite a fun project all winter long, but we just said, okay, God, we'll do what you want. And then in the summer months, we would travel with the tent. And I remember that first summer, we're getting ready to go, and our family, we had a van, and we had tents that we would camp in. And I knew that, okay, well, we got like two tents. We had little kids, but we didn't mind camping in a tent. And so we were getting set, and this gentleman asked us, so where are you going to stay when you're on the tent meetings? I said, well, we're going to stay in our tent. No, you can't do that. Although, well, sure, it's camping. We're okay with camping. Yeah, but there's hail, there's rain, and tents aren't very safe, some of the areas you're going to go to. And he said, here, I'll tell you what. He said, we're going to loan you our motorhome. And this gentleman loaned us a motorhome, a really nice motorhome. You know, the bed up on top, over the cab, and the stove, and the washroom. You don't have a washroom in a tent, I tell you. But anyways, everything there. He loaned it for the summer months. And here, you know, we had said, God, we'll go. We'd ask you meet the needs, and God met the need. And all summer long, we traveled in that motorhome, and it was a huge blessing. And when the summer ended, I cleaned it up and took it back to him. And he said, oh, I don't want it back. I'm giving it to you guys. The motorhome is yours now. I said, we had a motorhome. Literally last week, I was telling you guys how I'm not thankful enough sometimes. And sometimes we forget the good things God has done. And I was telling you how that week before I was thinking and counting on my fingers. What? 5 vehicles over the years God has given us. And I didn't even think of that motorhome till the following week. That's 6. Why would God do that? Because he's good. And I don't say this to brag, except maybe to brag on him. He is unbelievably, amazingly good. And when you ask him, he shows up and says, yeah, here you go. I already know you were going to need that. Thank you for asking. So ask. Don't be too proud to ask God for things. He's not just okay with it. It's how his kingdom works. Jesus also talked about this. Jesus was, of course, God in the flesh with his followers, but the time was coming when he would be crucified, rise from the dead, and then be seated at the right hand of the Father. And so he talks to them shortly before this, in John 16:23. And he says, at that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. Another version says, ask that your joy might be full. What an amazing good God. He's saying, ask the Father anything in my name. When you ask in Jesus' name, you're asking according to his will, and you're asking in the authority of who he is. In authority of somebody's name means that you are asking with their will and their backing. So that's what it means when you ask in Jesus' name. And he says, ask the Father anything. Anything. Often we're like, well, I don't want to bother God with this need. He's not bothered. Well, I don't know. Like, should I ask that? Ask. He is allowed to say no, but ask. Ask. You know, I've been really wanting a spouse, but should I ask? Ask. He probably has them lined up and he's waiting for you to ask. Ask him anything. Anything. And he said he will do it because he wants your joy to be full. This is the part that I love. Not because, well, you would die if you didn't have that. Not because, well, you know, we have no choice. Because he wants your joy to be full. He's that good. He is that good. Think about it, fathers. You know, if you are going to give something to your kids, are you stingy? Are you mean about it? I hope you're not stingy. I better just keep moving. Like, not today. All right. Ask the Father anything in my name. Then I want to get to my second point. There's a right and a wrong way to pray for your needs. Let's go there. When you're praying for your needs, Scripture says there's some don'ts, and then there's basically one, this is how you do it. So some don'ts when you're asking God to meet your needs. First thing, don't doubt when you pray. James 1 verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So when you're praying for your needs to be met, do not doubt. You're like, well, that's easy to say. How do you not doubt if you're doubting? Well, the way to not doubt when you're asking for your needs to be met is to get to know who it is you're asking. You're asking a good Father who wants to bless you abundantly. And when you get to know who he is, then the doubts fade away. When you get to know that he never fails, he never forsakes, he never leaves you, and he's good. When you get to really know him, the doubts disappear. I'm just going to say that. When you know how good he is, you will not doubt. Second, don't. Okay, so don't doubt. I'll give you a little tip on that. We'll get to more. Also, don't show off or go on and on. Don't show off and don't go on and on with your prayers. Let me give you the scripture. Matthew 6:5. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Okay, never pray to show off. Don't be like, you know, I am just going to pray really loud with big words so everybody knows how spiritual I am. Okay, sometimes we do public prayer here and I get to pray, but I am not praying to show off. I'm praying to lead the congregation because that's what God's saying to do. But sometimes, you know, people like get this thought of, oh, I want everybody to know how great I am and the big words I know now. And I'm just going to say, don't do that. And especially when you're praying for your needs, those are often private prayer times. You just go to him, bring it to him, and he shows up and he does what he wants to do. As I've told you, he's done it for us many times over the years. We went to the Lord privately. We didn't even tell people what we were praying for, and God blessed abundantly. You know, here's the cool thing. When you go to God privately, he gets all the glory when the answer comes. Yes, often he uses people, but he gets the glory. And people who are obedient to God to bless others, they get all the blessing. God gets all the glory. They get all the blessing that comes from it. Isn't that cool? God doesn't need the blessing from those seeds planted. God doesn't need the abundant overflow. He's already in that. So when you're obedient to do what God asks, you get all the blessing, he gets all the glory. Isn't that cool? That's just a little giving tip. When you feel God saying to give to somebody, do it privately and don't take any credit, but you're going to get all the blessing that comes from being obedient. Okay? Give him all the glory. So that is something. Don't show off when you pray, and then don't go on and on and on and on. In that time frame, the pagans, as it says, they thought, if we use more words and we repeat these words over and over and over, somehow it's going to miraculously, magically happen. And Jesus is telling them, that's not the way it works. You just need to clearly ask. And we're going to get on to the exact, this is how you should ask. So the next don't beg when you pray. Don't beg. Okay, let me read the scripture. This is a story I'm just going to tell you a little bit. Again, it's a story I've read many times. It's one of my, okay, they're all my favorites, but this is one of my favorites. There's a father who comes to Jesus. His boy is being tormented by an evil spirit, and in a sense, he's kind of begging. You see, the disciples couldn't help him, and now he comes to Jesus. And Jesus says this in Mark 9:21. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy, the spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean if I can? Jesus asks. Anything is possible if a person believes. I want to give this to you clearly. When you're praying for needs to be met, you don't have to beg, okay? You don't have to be like, oh, if you could, you know, I know you don't want to, but please. You don't have to beg. And then he says that statement to Jesus, if you can. It's almost like, if you want to, if you could, if you would. And Jesus is like, if I can? If I can is not the question. Of course I can. Of course I want to. The question is, do you believe I can? Do you believe I want to for you right now? That's the question. Okay, and here is how you pray for your needs. You want to pray for your needs to be met. Do not doubt. Believe. Believe, or another term you'll hear in church, is have faith. Faith is simply believing that what you're asking is coming to pass because you know who he is. Okay? So, no begging, believe it. And once again, you're like, well, how do I believe if I don't believe? This gentleman said, God, help my unbelief. There's a good start. And then God did the miracle, set the boy free. So, don't doubt, don't beg, don't show off. Just clearly say, Lord, these are my needs, and believe that he is answering them because he's good. Mark 11, 24 says it like this. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. This is crazy. Sometimes people feel like when they're praying to God, it's kind of like, you know, throwing darts. I might get lucky this time. That's often how I hear people praying. Well, I'm going to ask, but who knows? That's not faith. That's guessing. That's thinking maybe he cares. Get to know who he is, how much he cares. Be specific with what you ask, and then thank him, saying, Lord, I've brought it. I know who you are. I trust you. Now I'm excited about how that answer is going to come. And that answer will come. Maybe not exactly how you think, but it will come because he's good. Believe. All right. Point number three, we are cruising. When we ask God to meet our needs, he will do much more than we can imagine. Okay? He will do more than you think. I want you to get this of how good he is. So you ask, you believe, you clearly state your needs, then get ready because he will do more than you thought. Not less than you thought, not just enough, more than you thought. Okay, let me read the scripture, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He is able to do more abundantly than we can even think. Another scripture, another version, than we can even imagine. Think about that. Why do we limit him? Why do we limit our God to our understanding when he says he wants to do above all that we can think? And he says he will do it according to the power at work within us. What does that mean? Just like the story we read before, Jesus can. He already has that power, that Holy Spirit presence for healing, for miracles. It's all there. But it happens for you and I according to the power that works in us. That power that works in us is the Holy Spirit mixed with our faith. You see, his power doesn't work through us if we don't believe. His power is available to you as a believer. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. It's available to you, but it doesn't work if you don't believe. I don't know how else to say this. Believing is the key when you're praying and asking for needs of any kind. Believing is the key. You must believe. I don't know if you've ever met someone who it seems like, man, when they, you know, in the natural sense, boy, when they're going to go after something, it seems that they always get what they go after. I don't know if you've ever met that kind of person. You'll find out something about those kind of people. They always seem to get what they go after because first they're determined, but they also believe that they can get whatever they go after. And nobody stands in their way, but they don't give up. They know if someone else can get this, so can I. And they go after it until they get it. And I'm not even talking about praying here right now. I'm talking about in the natural. They believe it's for them and nobody's going to stop them. You know, they heard so-and-so got this thing, so why can't they? And they get it. So you, as believers, when you pray for your needs, believe that God wants you to have it and then go with confidence. And understand he is going to blow your mind with more than you can imagine. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Let me ask you one question. Do you believe God wants to bless you abundantly in your health, in your finances, in your relationships? Do you believe he wants to give you a joyful life? The world wants you to believe that, well, life is just life and, oh, it's scary and everything's an emergency and no, God wants you to have a joyful life, a life knowing that he's got this because he's good. Philippians 4:19, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. He will supply every need according to his riches. So he's God rich. He owns it all. He's going to supply needs according to that. Not according to, well, just enough, barely enough. You know, there was a thought some, you know, years ago in some churches that have the thought, well, as a Christian, I should just be poor because it will keep me humble. That's not scriptural. You know, God's going to just barely meet my needs, so I'll keep praying. No, you don't find that in scripture. Not at all. God says, I want to supply your needs according to my riches. I want to bless you abundantly. I want to take you further. I want to make you a bright light that has more than enough to give to every good work, as it says in Corinthians. Every good work. Who here is so blessed they're giving to every good work? Hey, if we're not there yet, then I say we need to increase our faith and say, okay, God, pour out so abundantly that we can give wherever you say give, wherever there's a need. So maybe we need to ask, Lord, pour out so abundantly. You know, I've been praying for my needs, but Lord, you always get bless my needs. What about the needs of others who don't know you? Can you pour out so much in my life that I can meet those needs? That I can give to every good work, that I can help that single mom, that I can help that family that lost their home, that I can pour out wherever you say. Now that's living abundantly. That's living believing for needs to be met. But too often we struggle with, if I can just make the payments at the end of the month, please God. And if you're there, don't feel bad. Bring your needs to him. Start believing like I'm saying. Start believing for him to put you in a position where you have more than enough, because he's that good. He is that good. I was thinking about times in my life and things that I've seen where God has abundantly poured out because he's just that good. And if you're like, yeah, but you're a pastor, life is easy. Okay, I wasn't always a pastor, and pastoring's not always easy either. I've done a number of different jobs in my life, and the toughest one and the most rewarding one I've ever done is pastoring. Some of those other jobs, like, you know, framing and drywalling and concrete, they seemed physically tough, but man, they were easy compared to this. But this is far more rewarding. So, does God bless? Does he pour out abundantly? We started with a verse that said, if you seek him first, he'll add all things to you. I've lived that in my life and said, God, I will do whatever you want. We will do ministry the way you want. We will do it how you choose, and God is blessed and blessed and blessed. And I used to do carpentry work and ministry for a number of years, and I remember the time where I really felt in my spirit, God is saying it's time to do full-time ministry. And we had our own small ministry, and at that time it was all evangelism. And I remember feeling it so strong, and I was like, you know what? Lord, you've never failed us. You can do this even without that income from the carpentry work. I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to do this. I trust you because I know how good you are. And so I took the steps to shut down that business. And, you know, I totally shut it down because the kind of person I am, I knew I need to be focused on the one thing, or I'll just, as soon as it's hard, go back to the other. Now, if you have a carpenter business and God's called you to it, stick with it. Don't quit. But this was just my story. And so I said, okay, that's it. Done, we're taking the step. And I took the step and I was like, okay, God, you got this. You're going to totally look after us. But you know, there it is. It's all gone. Trusting in him. Now what? I literally got a phone call a few days later. At that time, I got a phone call a few days later from a pastor in Saskatchewan. We need your help. Could you move down here and help us with our church? Yeah, you heard some of the story at the beginning. That was where we went. When we took that step of faith, that was when we got blessed with a beautiful motorhome. We spent a few months living in that motorhome. God totally supplied. But you need to trust him. You need to understand that he abundantly blesses. Now, that was my story going into ministry. Maybe yours is going into business. Then you've got to trust him to totally do whatever he chooses. And you've got to be willing to say, I will go for you. For this business, for this job, for this ministry, what it is he's called you to. And you see, we were all in trusting him, but I was totally fine if we had to live in a tent. But my God's so good, he said no. He was probably saying, well, Pastor Dan, if you want to live in a tent, that's good, but your wife and little kids probably shouldn't. He's good. Of course, if my wife were up here telling this story, she'd probably be like, he didn't have much faith, he wanted a tent, but I was praying for a motorhome. Like, I don't know. Like, but I want to tell you, he's good. Whatever it is that you're facing, bring those needs clearly to him and then go with confidence knowing that he's got you. He has caught you. And you can do it. All right, my last point. The most important prayer need of all is forgiveness. You see, forgiveness is something that every single person needs, and it's something that we can pray and ask for. Romans 3:23 says, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. All right. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And God says that in his grace, verse 24, he freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. So all have sinned. Jesus was the sacrifice. Maybe you're here today and you're like, boy, when they were worshiping, they were singing a lot about blood. That's kind of weird. Okay, they were singing about the blood that Jesus shed for us to have our sins forgiven. That's what that was about. And of course, for us, when we understand what that is, it's like, whoa, this is awesome. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. And so he made a way for us to be forgiven. Isaiah 53 verse 4 says, yet it was our grief he bore, our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment for God for his own sins. But he was wounded and bruised for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. He was lashed and we were healed. We, every one of us, have strayed away like sheep. We who left God's path to follow our own, yet God laid on him the guilt and sins of every one of us. Jesus paid the price so you and I could be forgiven. Jesus paid the price so that we could freely go and say, Lord, forgive us for our sin. Forgive us where we've messed up, and we can know that it is done. We simply need to ask. In Ephesians 1 verse 6, it says, let us praise God for his glorious grace, for the free gift he gave us in his dear son. For by the blood of Christ, we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God? How great is his grace? See, Jesus was whipped and beaten, his blood poured out. He was hung on a cross where he died for you and I. He gave us that free gift of salvation, and he said there's just one way to receive it, only one. Romans 10 and 9, if you confess with your mouth, use words, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So simple, so profound, so life-changing. And that's why every service we take opportunity to pray a simple prayer in case you're here today and you've never done this. You can pray and ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin, and you can be guaranteed he does it. So let's do that prayer here this morning. I'm going to ask you to repeat it after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you today, forgive me of my sin. I choose today to follow you. Amen. Give God praise.